Blog Talk Radio.
To join us. We thank God for you being with us on tonight. We're praying that the Lord would allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in his sight. Lord God, you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Listen, tonight we have a brief segment just to encourage your heart, and we're going to be talking about add fuel to the fire. Add fuel to the fire. So when we're talking about that, I'm sure you have an inclination of where we're going in terms of scripture. Yes, I want to go to 2 Timothy 1 and 6 and just talk with you briefly, and we're aware of that scripture. Let's look at it. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands." And what he's reminding, Paul is reminding Timothy of, as you go down into the next verse, is that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when we talk about adding fuel to the fire, something that the Lord impressed upon me for tonight is that inside of each one of his children, there's a fire. There's a fire deep down on the inside, and it waits to be stirred. And so when we talk about adding fuel to that fire, what is it really that we're going to need to do? And what was it that Paul was admonishing Timothy to do in terms of stirring up the gift? Because it's not something that somebody can do for us. We're challenged. Just life itself challenges us every day, you know, to keep that fire from smoldering, to keep it from going out. There's so many things that can come and be weights against us, or things that come to discourage us, keep us from going forward where we may not even feel like doing what it is that God has called us to do, but how do we get past just a feeling and really adding fuel to the fire and having, again, an excitement and enthusiasm to go forward and do what it is that the Lord would have us to do? What does it take to fuel the fire, to continue moving in the direction that God has ordained for our lives? So tonight, that's what we're going to be dealing with. I think the first thing for us to realize and to understand is that we didn't learn this. Whatever it is that's on the inside of us in terms of the gifting, what Paul was saying to Timothy strikes a chord, because it's not something that we learn. It's God-given. So whatever is down on the inside of you that God has ordained for you to use as you walk through this life, and it is to be a mighty burning fire. It's something that comes against every plot and scheme of the enemy. It's something that resonates. It burns within us, and our spirits bear witness with the Spirit of God, and this Spirit within us, which is the Spirit of God, it bears witness with God because He is the one who's placed it in us. And so the giftings that we operate through as we navigate through the earth, we didn't learn this. It's something that God gave. So the first thing I want us to realize is that we didn't learn it. God gave it. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, what I want you to do is I want you to think about, as you look at verse 5, I want you to think about and remember the faith, you know, that your grandmother had. I want you to remember the faith that your mother had. You know, I'm persuaded that that's in you also. So he admonishes him to reach back to those behind him. You may say, well, I don't have anybody in my lineage who was God-fearing or who loved the Lord. But I'm convinced that God has placed somebody in all of our lives. And whether we know it or not, we need to pull on that. You know, somebody, there's a song that they used to sing in the church that says, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind. I'm so glad that somebody prayed for me. And I believe that each one of us has somebody who has prayed for us. Think about it. Have you ever prayed for somebody whom you don't even know? Just praying that God would touch people everywhere, save the unsaved. God save my family member. So when you're crying out for God to save the unsaved, you're praying for people, and you and I are praying for people that we don't even know. And so somebody, no doubt, has cried out for us. And the same thing in our lineage. We may not know about it. It may have been that great-grandmother, somebody you never met, but they cried out for us. And this is what Paul is putting Timothy in remembrance of. There's somebody who was before you. Think about those and pull on that heritage, pull on that lineage, because I have the confidence that that faith is in you as well, and we are going to have to add fuel to the fire. You didn't learn it. God gave it. And so God is saying that's the first thing to understand, that whatever is in you that's pulling at you, that fire down in the inside, is God-given. The second thing that we want to think about tonight is that others can't activate it. All right? When God is saying stir it up, and tonight when we're talking about add fuel to it, we can't wait for somebody else to do it. We have to recognize, we have to hone it, we have to develop it, and then we have to use it. You can't wait for other people to come on board and seek to activate what God has put in you. You say, well, how can I add fuel to this fire? I don't know, you know, what to do. I don't know what moves to make. First of all, find those who cause your fire to burn. That's something that I want to say is our third point. First of all, recognize you didn't learn it. God gave it. Others can't activate it. That's the second thing. Stop waiting for somebody to activate what's in you. God is saying, I want you to add fuel to that fire that I've put on the inside of you. The third thing, find people. Find those who cause your fire to burn. Have you ever been in a situation? Think about it. If you've been in a situation where you can feel the fires ebbing, you know, they are smoldering, they are going out, your fire is not being fueled, And you can feel that. It's like you're being drained. If you've ever been in an environment where you're supposed to be able to worship and magnify and use your gifts, but that is being quenched. And the scripture tells us to quench not the Holy Ghost. Quench not that spirit that's on the inside of us. So he's very real, and his move can be quenched. And so this is why Timothy was being admonished by Paul. You're going to have to stir it up. Stir up the gift. Think about the faith of your mother, your grandmother. Think about those whom you're spending your time with. Think about that, because you're going to have to get vision again and get around that type of situation that fuels your fire, because you find yourself going out. You find that fire smoldering. But what I'm saying to you tonight is that it's there. It's really there. And it's not about wishful thinking and I wish I could do like someone else is doing and I wish I could. No, God is saying there's something in you. You're an original. You know, what makes the difference is you're going to have to recognize that God wants to activate it. God has a way of refueling it, but we have to stay in a place where the anointing can flow. We don't want to lag in our zeal, in our endeavor, you know, to grow in the things of God. One version of Romans 12 and 11 says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. I mean, I think that's a powerful way to put it. Always be aglow and burning. In other words, we have to stay on fire for the Lord. That doesn't mean always jumping and shouting and, you know, that type of thing, being demonstrative. It's a burning down on the inside where it's like we want more. We want more of God. Another rendering of that, Romans 12 and 11, says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So in everything that we do, we're doing it with fervency, fervency in spirit, not slothful in business. And I think when we think about business, sometimes we're thinking about the marketplace, but I think this also speaks to the business of the Lord, not to be slothful in that, you know, that we have to be mindful that God wants us to be accountable and that God wants us to have a fire, not just about, and a zeal, not just about jumping and shouting when we're in the church setting, but he wants us to have a zeal according to knowledge. He wants us to be innovative and to move forth in the things of God with a quickness, but not only that, but with much wisdom. You know, moving from the have-tos to the want-tos. What are you doing now that you want to do as opposed to what you have to do? What are we doing now in wisdom as it pertains to the business of God, not being slothful? Because we can be caught up a lot of times in being slothful. And if you've ever seen a sloth, oh, my goodness, that's a creature that when I watch that, watch them move, it gets on my last nerve because, first of all, they're just very, very, very slow. But the scripture refers to us not to be that way, to be wise, to be determined, to be continuing in fervency in everything that we do for the Lord, and to move away from wishful thinking and to move more toward discovering what God has said out of his mouth about us and having a mindset to do it. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that tells us that whatever our hand finds to do, do it, and do it with all of our might. And that speaks of the things of God, what we find ourselves doing in terms of the things of God. You know, not putting off till tomorrow what we can really be doing today, because procrastination will rob us. It will take the fire and the zeal away from us. You know, others who have us want to tell you to just wait, just wait, just wait. And before you know it, you look back and you say, wow, it's been 5 years. I could have had X, Y, and Z completed by now, but it's been 5 years. I've waited. So we want to do it and do it with all of our might. That adds fuel to your fire when you catch sight of what it is that you're to be doing, and no more excuses. You're just determining that this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to make any more excuses about it. There is a fire down on the inside of me, and I'm going to move in that direction, and I'm going to do whatever I do to the glory of God and believe God for the outcome. Listen, just because someone is anointed to do something doesn't mean that they're going to necessarily, watch what I'm saying, necessarily succeed in that area. They're anointed for it, but we're going to have wisdom. We're going to have to get back to following the move of God and moving in God's timing. We need those around us to help to fuel the fire, but not only that, but to help us as we walk this course of life. You know, fueling the fire, but being sensitive to the Spirit, helping us as we walk it out. Something that we do annually, we host a women in ministry getaway, and really the vision for that is for women who are in ministry to come alongside other women who have identified that there's something that God has placed down on the inside of them. Remember, our first thing we said, you didn't learn it, God gave it. So they recognize, wait a minute, there's something that God has put within me, and I'm going to take the time to pull away and get in his presence, get with other women. Remember, I talked about fueling that fire. Get with others who also have a fire on the inside of them, so that if for whatever reason my fire has begun to be smoldering, it's going out, there's only smoke coming now, but there's no fire, or it's really, really going out. You know, it's damp. There's water on where there used to be fire. I need to get with others who can help to activate that which is within me so that I can begin to cultivate what God has given to me and to cultivate it and become comfortable with what God has given to me. A lot of times we're comparing gifts in places where we worship, and so we can't be satisfied with what God has given to us. So what God has given in terms of a vision for pulling away for women in ministry is an opportunity for women to come together. And when they come together, it's about getting with women who have like passion, because our fires have to be refueled. And we have to pour fuel on that fire, realizing that God is saying, I haven't given up on you. And that which is within you, I want to pull it out of you. I want you to, again, get a focus and direction for what it is I've called you to do. And not only that, but make up your mind to develop what I've given to you and use it. And sometimes it may be that you're going to have to ask the Lord to expand and enlarge your borders. You're going to have to seek God for maybe new direction. When I say expand and enlarge borders, understand what I'm saying. It may be that where you're working now, where you're placing your gifts now, is not the place that's designed to receive that anymore. So God may need to enlarge the borders. That's what he's been speaking in my spirit. So when we come together and we have women who are saying, you know what, I know there's a fire down on the inside of me. I want to stir it. I need to be around others who can help me to activate it. And then I want to cause that fire to burn, but I want to be in the place where God has planted me so that others are not seeking to put it out, so that my fire doesn't smolder and go out and becomes just smoke. But I want to really be on fire for God. I want to do what I do with diligence. I don't want to be slothful, but I want to be a one who's about the Lord's business fervently, fervent in spirit. And that's the way, when we come together, we seek to have God's women leaving. And I share that because I feel like there are those who perhaps you're listening and you would never have an opportunity to go to one of our getaways. I would hope that you would. But even if you don't, the mindset and the principle is the same, that we would surround ourselves with those who have an understanding of the things of God, who have a hunger, you know, for the things of God, and who are willing to walk with, pray with, help you develop and strengthen you in the things of God. You know, this is the way it is with God. You know, promotion comes from God. Increase comes from God. That which he's put in, within you, God will cultivate that. God will put you right in the right place at the right time. He'll pull you away from those deluding and seducing spirits. He'll pull you away from doctrines that are not of him. You know, as you surround yourself with those who truly love the Lord, you know, he'll convict us and help us to know what it is that he's called us to, so that we can stop making excuses, whether it's about ourselves, about where we've been, about what we've not had, any of that. It doesn't matter. God is saying, when you recognize that there's something in you that you didn't learn, it's something that I gave, it's something in you that other people can't activate, you're going to have to make up your mind to activate it and go after it. When you do that, God's going to be there to strengthen you. God's going to be there to help that fire to burn on the inside of you. But it does take something on our part, and it does take wisdom. That's where I was getting when I was speaking of having an anointing, but really not having the wisdom to operate in it. You know, God is concerned about us moving in wisdom, you know, knowing when, knowing how, you know, knowing what is appropriate, being able to discern spirits, being able to discern the time, being able to know that when God is speaking and when he's not. So God is looking for you and for me, you know, to not just be anointed, but to understand and operate in wisdom. And this is the desire that the Lord has put in my spirit, is to be able to move forward in the wisdom of God. But not only that, to be able to help pull others along who have such a burning desire. There's so many who want to do the will of God, and at the same time, you know, we're I don't know, kind of like put in a bubble until it's like, well, you know, you're not ready yet. You don't know how to move. You don't know when to move or how to flow. But God is saying it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be rocket science. It's really a surrendering of your will. That's really what it's about. It's about saying, yes, Lord, I want to stir this up, this that is down on the inside of me. I want to stir it up. I'll give you a prime example of that flame going, you know, being smoldered and put snuffed out, is when we begin then to look at what God has given to us and think about how others won't receive it. You know, we find every reason in the world why others won't receive it, you know, because it's us. But God is saying, just be faithful and just trust me. And I'm speaking to myself first, because God is going to test our faithfulness toward him. He's going to test our trust toward him. And whatever he's put in you and whatever he's put in me, God wants us to know that it's not about us, that he's going to do it. Faithful is he who calls us, who also will do it. You know, he'll do what it is that he's put in our hearts to do. And I know sometimes it's very hard to see our way clear on that, because what we rely on are our experiences, our messages that we get, you know, from others, maybe not only what they say but how they respond to you or to me versus, you know, to other people. But you got to keep pressing forward, and you got to know that if God gave it, you know, God means to do good by it, you know, and God is the one who can cause us to flourish in whatever it is that he's put upon us. He wants a steadfast heart, and he wants a heart that's fixed on him. I found that in Psalm 57 and 7, it says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast. And, you know, that's what the Lord is asking for. He's saying, listen, this is not as hard as people want to make it to be. But you can stir up and you can fuel the fire. That's within you. If you're just determined that you're going to serve me, if you're determined that you're going to do my will, if you're determined that you're going to fulfill the call of God on your life, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. If you're determined you're going to walk in the fullness of God, that you're going to walk in peace and in joy, then God is going to see to it that that's exactly what's going to be fulfilled in our lives, because we're partners with God. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast, and my heart is confident. What is your heart confident in? That's what's going to fuel the fire, the confidence that we have toward God, the confidence. Much of what it is that keeps us from the things of God is giving up. That's the same thing that Paul was saying to Timothy. He had to put him in remembrance because Timothy was ready to give up. He says, wait a minute now, let me put you in remembrance of something. You know, don't be fearful, don't give up. I'm giving some of my own words here. But he said, I want to remind you of some things. And then he talked about the faith that he had in him. He said, I have the faith that that faith that was in your grandmother and your mother, I'm confident that it's in you. It's in you. And I believe that it's a gift of God which was put in you by the laying on of my hands. So he had someone in his corner who was pulling him along, who had confidence that God wanted to do something great in his life. That's what we need. And you don't need a lot of folk around. You just need somebody who can help to cause your fire, you know, to burn. Those seasons may change. You know, you may have people walk out of your life. But God will restore. God will help you to find, because we're not meant to just walk the journey alone. He'll help you to connect and experience victory with those who have like passions, you know, who want to follow the leading of the Spirit. And when you're walking with those who want to follow the leading of the Spirit, anything is possible. Anything is possible anyway with the Lord. But we can accomplish anything, you know. We can dig our heels in, set our face like a flint. This is what the Lord wants us to do anyway, and go forward in the things of God. Have you ever had that type of situation where you're with someone, or you have a mentor? Some people call them mentors, or someone who walks the walk with you, and you feel like there's nothing that you cannot do, nothing that you cannot accomplish. Well, the Holy Ghost does that for us, but the Lord will also plant you in the midst of others who can help to fuel your fire and help you to see that, listen, with the Lord, you can conquer, you can do anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord, and that's what we need. God is saying, listen, I want to add fuel to that fire. I want you to, again, grab hold of the vision that I gave to you and realize that you don't have to imitate anybody. I didn't make you to imitate anybody. I made you to be you, and I've clothed you in my righteousness, and you don't have to mock the gifts of anybody else. You stir up your own gift. You say, how do I do it? Stay in the Lord's face. You know, begin to profess what he says. Don't make excuses about who you are, but begin to profess what the Lord says about you. Say every day, I hear the Lord's voice. Lord, I declare that I hear you because your word says your sheep know your voice and a stranger they will not follow. I believe that there are giftings down on the inside of me. I refuse to be jealous of anybody else, but I'm going to stir what's on the inside of me. Yes, each and every day I'm going to stir it up by calling forth on the Spirit of God to hone these gifts that are within me, help me to use them and use them with boldness. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, is because when we begin to come in agreement with the Word of God, We cannot shrink back in fear when the Spirit of God then wants to be manifest in our lives. He doesn't want us to walk in a lie, but he wants us to walk in the truth. You say, well, what do you mean walk in a lie? Well, for so long, many of us have been told a lie, whatever that lie is. You're not as good as this one. You know, you're too fat. You don't speak well. You're too tall. You're too dark. Whatever the case may be, you don't. You know, you have a stammering tongue, just like Moses did. You're too young. You're too old. All of those are lies that the enemy is told. And how do I know they're lies? It's because the Scripture says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So none of those things can stand in our way. But what we've done for so long in many instances is that we've followed the crowd. What we've done for so long is we've allowed ourselves to be compared with someone else. So we bring that over into the kingdom of God and we begin to do the same thing. We compare ourselves to someone else, to their giftings, to their abilities. Listen, God put something in me. God gave a gift of music to me at a very young age, and you know, and I used that gift for years, and the gift made room, and the gift brought enjoyment and pleasure. This is another thing, too. When God gives you a gift, it's not a drudgery. It brings pleasure to your heart. It soothes your heart. I am very comfortable in using that gift, but I'm going to tell you what. I allowed circumstances, situations, and environment with people to cause me not to appreciate the gift that God had given, because people would say that the gift that I had was not to be compared with those in the setting where I was. And I've shared this with you all before, some of you who are listeners, where I began to be in a setting where people sang a certain way. And so if I would sing, one sister told me one time, she says, oh, you know, every time you would get up to sing, and I said, oh, my goodness, here she goes singing like those other people. And so that resonated in my spirit because it said, you're not as good as the ones here. This is not the type of, you know, singing that we do here in this setting. So I just began to sit back on that. I mean, I use it to bring pleasure or to sing in my home, and I don't even do that as much. But I'm saying to you that if we're not careful, then those things will settle in our spirits. And yours may not be that. It could be anything. It could be something that happened younger in your life. But what I'm saying is that we have to find a way then to refuel that fire and to push past those things that are not true in our lives that keep us from moving in our gifting, okay? Your gift is meant to give you energy. It's meant to bring you strength. It really is. When we use our gifts as God has ordained, you know, we flourish. And not only that, but it makes room for us. The world will make room for us. And our gift is what causes the world to make room for us, is what the Scripture says, that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Or you may say, I don't want to go before great men. And everybody is not meant to be before the crowd, the multitude. But nonetheless, what's in you has to be fueled because God wants to use it. And that's what I'm getting at. Whatever it is, whatever the excuse is that we've used for not flowing in that area, we have to let that go because it's about the kingdom and it's not about us. And so God is saying, whatever it is that's kept you from that, you absolutely have to let it go because there's no other way that you're going to flourish in the kingdom of God. That's what's going to add fuel to your fire when you just say, yes, yes, Lord. Then God is going to begin to you know, unleash the power of God within us. And that's really what God's people want. I believe that. I believe those who love the Lord, they really want to be free, because that's what we're called to be. We're called to be free in the spirit. They really want to be free. That's how our spirits are designed. We're designed to operate free in the spirit. And whenever we're bound up, whenever we're constrained in the spirit, we feel that. And that causes our fire to go down. And eventually, if it's not corrected, it will, you know, feel as though it's gone out or seem as though it's gone out, because we're not going by feelings. But it's there. That's why I'm talking about refueling, adding fuel to the fire, because it is still there. It's the Spirit of God, and we cannot put him out, but sometimes he's not dominant because we've allowed other things to take first place. But that's what I wanted to share with you tonight, that what you have, God gave it. You didn't learn it. Other people can't activate it. You've got to find those people and places that cause your fire to burn. And remember, you don't have to imitate or mock anybody. You know, you're authentic, and that's who God called you to be. You're authentic. I don't know if anybody has comments tonight, but I certainly trust and pray that you've been encouraged tonight. That's what we always seek to do, is to encourage you. You know, I'm trusting that some fuel's been added to your fire on tonight, you know, that you'll want to go just a little bit farther. You know, as the Spirit of God moves you, you're going to say, you know what? Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be it because I can. And I can because you ordained it. That's why I can, right? Not because of where I've been, not because of my degree, not because of my name, none of that. It's because you said I can. Amen. So hold on. Just let's see. We have someone with a comment tonight. God bless you, caller. Are you there?
I am here.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Where are you calling from tonight?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. All right. Well, God bless you for joining us. Would you have a comment for us tonight?
Yeah,
what's your name?
I've got a few more. My name is Daniel.
Daniel? Okay, Daniel. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. I got a few more things to add to that list about lies. I have been told by my former pastor leadership that I wasn't saved long enough, or I wasn't Baptist long enough, or I wasn't anointed enough.
Mm-hmm.
I even was told that I preached too deeply, too boldly. I'm too convictional. I'm like, and that's what the word tells us to do.
Yes.
And I'm like, I looked in like they were sideways, crooked, like y'all stupid. I'm just keeping it real. I shouldn't say that, but I'm just going to keep it 100% real. And I'm not there anymore. I left the church 8 years ago. But I have been told that. And I expect that from people who do not know Christ, but from the leadership of your church, that's a hard pill to swallow.
And
I don't go by my baptism. I don't go by denomination. I don't go by my title. I go by what God called me to be in his kingdom. I'm not 100% right all the time, but every day is a learning experience. Good life in the classroom. But to be told, I'm too bold, I need to preach feel-good messages, I said, I can't do that. It's not even to preach feel-good messages. So that's what I wanted to say.
To preach what kind of messages, Daniel?
They wanted me to preach feel-good messages.
Feel-good messages. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yes,
what they needed to hear.
Yes. We hear you. All right. Well, I want to say a little bit about that, and I thank you for calling in, all right?
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hold on. Don't go away.
Call.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
God bless you. All right. Well, that was our brother Daniel from Arkansas. We're so thankful that he shared with us tonight, because listen, whatever the lie is that you've been told, just like the Lord revealed to him that there's some things that have been planted in his spirit that may not have been of God, we have to give that back to God and say, Lord, I want to do and say what it is that you're giving me to do and to say, and always operating in wisdom. See, God will give us wisdom. You remember when I said, you may be anointed to do a thing, but you certainly want to be able to go forth in the wisdom of God. And when we do that, God will show us, God will lead us, God will put those around us who can help to cultivate what is within us. So, you know, I thank God for his comments on tonight, and I want all of you to be encouraged to pray for your leadership. Pray for leaders, because you never know when you're going to be in a position of leadership. Don't take down from the word of God, but at the same time, be willing to follow sound doctrine and good leadership, because those of you right now who are perhaps in the making, you're probably going to be pushed into a position of leadership one day, and you got to be able to have a keen discernment and ability to lead and guide others in the way of the Lord. Amen? Because this is a time when people do have itching ears. They want a message that makes them jump and shout and whatever. And then when you leave, what do you go away with? What do you have to take you through the rest of your week after your Sunday experience? That's what it boils down to. These are the times that we're living in. This is why we need to add fuel to our fire, is because we're living in a time when we got to have more than a feel-good message. We're going to have the meat of the word to carry us through. Amen? So does anyone else have a comment on tonight? Because we certainly want to give space for those who are listening to have a word on tonight. God is so good to us. God is so faithful toward us. And God has so many great things in store for your life. If I don't leave you with anything else tonight, that's what I want you to know, is that God has great things in store for your life if you love him and you are the called according to his purpose. Everything in your life right now is working together for your good. It may not feel good, it may not look good, may not sound good, but it's working together. All those things are working together for your good, even those experiences that seem to be bad, the rough spots, the bad spots. It's working for your good. Listen, we are so grateful that you are with us on tonight. As I said earlier, we're doing a short segment on tonight just to encourage your hearts, but I'm asking that you would ask someone else to come and be with us next Monday evening. We're back on When Passion Meets Purpose next Monday night at 7:30. We're going to be here at the same place. Ask someone else to come and join us. You come back and join us so that we can have some great dialogue in the things of God. I'm looking for God to do some great things in your life while we're apart this week. Pray God's richest blessings over you. God, look over your people. Let the favor of God rest upon them and the anointing of God, Lord God, be prominent in their lives. We give you glory, honor, and praise for these, your great and precious people, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week on When Passion Meets Purpose.